Chapter 11.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy.
Sitting stiffly in his chair, John willed himself to pay attention to the datapad in front of him. With a mental sigh, as his eyes drifted away from the text to flick to his surroundings once again, he resigned himself to hypervigilance until he became comfortable sitting behind the desk. As Padawan to a council member, John was tasked with extra responsibilities, mainly joining the rotating schedule of council Padawans that manned the intake desk to the various council chambers. He and the others were responsible for directing Jedi and other visitors to their appointments, as well as sending messages to the counselors, informing them of important alerts while they were in session. Aside from boring paperwork consisting of collecting mission and Senate reports, there were often long stretches of time where nothing happened in the chamber. Since he was a new council Padawan, John was spending his time under the company of another Padawan, an easygoing Bim by the name of Naimi. She was very close to undergoing her trials, she had informed him with a tight-lipped smile, politely hiding her many sharp teeth. She sat next to him at the wide desk, sifting through the plethora of notices and reports in order to get to the ones that actually needed the council's attention. This was his third time on duty, and he hated it. Watching all the different people filtering in and out wasn't so bad, and sometimes Padawan Naimi would tell him rumors about the Senate advisors passing through, which was amusing, if confusing. He never knew what to say to her. John had a sneaking suspicion that he had been assigned to times with Naimi simply because she was easygoing and friendly, happy chattering away to the visitors horribly lost in the temple about anything and everything that crossed her mind. It was still hard for John to even talk to his own master unprompted, let alone strangers that needed something from him. Sitting here in his chair, in broad daylight, surrounded by people, was making him twitchy, enough that he could feel his nerves getting worse. John had hardly ever been around this many people outside of those rare times Dark Woman took him to cities for necessary supplies. Dealing with the massive influx of energy from being around so many Force sensitives at the beginning of his stay at the temple had been bad enough, but he got used to ignoring the singing and the Force quickly. But at the council desk, he also had to deal with unshielded minds, and some of these people projected. Never had John understood Dark Woman's sneer about untrained Force sensitives more than interacting with some of these people. One particular Senate employee, some advisor or aide to a senatorial aide, not even an actual senator, was quickly becoming one of John's most disliked visitors. Jedi did not hate, but John could understand the appeal when he heard the tapping of familiar shoes on the stone floor. Next to him, Naimi sighed, and he could feel her frustration seeping past her own shields, something that only sharpened when a group of technicians scattered out of the way of the man bearing down on their desk. Regardless of her annoyance, Naimi still managed to look up with a polite smile. "Good afternoon, sir. Can we help you today?" John admired how she made it sound like she'd prefer nothing more than to smash his head through their desk, something that apparently went over the aide's head as he came to a halt in front of them, a sneer curling his lip. Ket Thesh was a middle-aged man who wore expensive clothes in the latest fashion underneath his aide's robes. Considering the demure and understated way every other aide was dressed, John thought Thesh's insistence on showing off his wealth was tacky. Not only that, but Thesh was from a historically prominent family on Corellia and wanted everyone to know it. John knew from his own research, however, that despite their current wealth, the Thesh family had lost significant political power during the Reformation due to several notable scandals. John nodded politely when dark eyes moved to him, and the sneer only grew. "Yes, actually." Thesh's voice attempted to jam a sliver of pain through John's head with his sharp nasality. "There were several reports that had been mislabeled and sent here. I have been tasked with retrieving them." He handed over a datapad with a list of titles on it. Naimi couldn't quite keep her surprise to herself, and John bit back an inappropriate snicker as she flicked through the list, nodding. She looked up with a sunny smile and said, "It'll take me a few minutes to gather them all, but I believe that all the ones on your list are here." John turned back to his own datapad after a few moments of watching Naimi sort out a small stack, pushing them towards Thesh. She turned an apologetic glance at him before saying, "There are several more I'll have to get, but it should be quick, sir." Then she hurried away down the hall, ducking into one of the doors and leaving John with Thesh. It was almost mid-meal, so the steady stream of people was practically non-existent, and the echoing emptiness of the room made John uneasy. Logically, he knew nothing would happen, but the way Thesh was staring at him while he pretended to read was uncomfortable. Should he say something? John didn't know what to do in a situation like this and hoped that his silence wasn't considered rude. If Thesh wanted to say something, then he likely would. 1 minute passed with Thesh still looking at him. Then two. John fought the urge to shiver against the feeling of bugs crawling over his skin at that derisive gaze. "And where did they find you, His head snapped up against his will at the considering tone, and John blinked in shock at Thesh. The man was leaning against the desk, not quite looming over John, but it was enough to make him want to shrink down into his chair. He fought the impulse off as best he could and tilted his head in question. "Oh, shy, are we? Who would have thought that such a tiny little child with such an important task would be shy?" Thesh's voice was soft enough that his words wouldn't carry down the hall, and his mind was sharp with intent. John didn't know what he wanted. A strand of gelled hair fell across Thesh's forehead, and he pushed it out of his face, taking the opportunity to brace his elbows on the desk, propping his chin on one hand, his face almost even with John's. Thesh didn't say or do anything else, and John fiddled with his pad just for something to do with his hands. The way Thesh was looking at him made him feel uncomfortable. He could feel the way that Thesh's thoughts were solely focused on him, and he couldn't help a shiver this time at the oily feeling that was spreading from the man around them. Thesh smirked. John bit his lip, heart racing. Master Windu was always telling him that if something made him uncomfortable, he could tell him. John had no desire to bother his master while he was in a meeting. The other counselors always had a pinched look on their face at interruptions. Obi-Wan had told him one night in the Sowl that initiates and Padawans had a right to defend themselves in and out of the temple against others. Of course, Obi-Wan had then told John to be careful, pointing out several loopholes in self-defense laws for him to exploit should he ever need to. He could feel Thesh thinking about saying something, and he knew he wouldn't like what he heard. Naimi's laugh bounced down the hall, her mind coming closer as Thesh opened his mouth. John raised his head and met Thesh's gaze evenly. Something on his face made Thesh pause uncertainly. Voice just above a whisper, John said, "How's Lady Mara? I heard her courtship with the Viscount was going well." Shock cracked through the force around them, and Thesh jerked upright, face pale, lips a thin, colorless line. A snarl broke across his face, and John let a small smile form. "Found them, sir." Thesh spun around, startled at Naimi's appearance at his elbow. Fur rippling in irritation, Naimi smiled at him, teeth bared, as she held out another stack of datapads to him. Reaching out, Thesh took the pads from her, tucking them under his arm before leveling a furious glare at John and dramatically sweeping from the room. Naimi watched him go, her frown just as impressive as her smile, and she looked at John expectantly. He looked back innocently and said, "Aid Thesh is trying to steal a Viscount's spouse." Large eyes blinked at him. John felt a real smile creeping across his face at her bewildered look and ducked his head to hide a snicker. Slowly, Naimi sat back in her chair, hands mindlessly sorting sheets of flimsy plast, big brown eyes never leaving John. She tilted her head, ears flopping, as she considered this new nugget of gossip. "Is he succeeding?" "No." John bit his lip to keep from laughing. "But his wife is." Naimi let out a bark of shocked laughter that echoed in the room and down the hall, clapping a hand over her muzzle. The tension in the air left by Thesh dissipated with her laughter, and something in John relaxed. Chortling to herself, Naimi shook her head. Oh, we're going to have such fun together, John. She went back to her sorting, occasionally chuckling to herself, and John felt happy. Maybe becoming a council Padawan wasn't such a bad idea after all. He said, "What?" Obi-Wan's voice echoed in the abandoned cell, and all John could do was stare at his friend in confusion. Hands raised in front of him to calm Obi-Wan, John took a step closer. It wasn't that bad. Not that bad. Not that bad! John winced as Obi-Wan's voice rose close to a shout, inching forward again as Obi-Wan stared at him. It's not like he did anything. He knew the moment his words came out of his mouth that it was the wrong thing to say. Obi-Wan's fists clenched, and his face flushed red with an emotion John couldn't identify. The older Padawan ducked his head, breathing in slowly before he started to speak again, his voice artificially calm. What Aid Thesh was insinuating towards you, John, was at the very least insulting to you and your teaching master. As only council Padawans are responsible for that specific desk, then Mr. Thesh insulted a counselor as well. Obi-Wan sucked in another breath and turned his head away from John, jaw working as if he was chewing his next words. His behavior toward you as an obviously new Padawan was not only insulting, but concerning. At that, John opened his mouth, but Obi-Wan raised a hand to cut him off. Let me finish, please. When it was clear John wouldn't interrupt, Obi-Wan finally looked at him. It's concerning because a Senate aide should know better than to act that way towards an underage child, John. The fact that he felt comfortable enough to do so in public is not something that should be happening, least of all outside the council chambers. As the confusion John felt was still clearly visible, Obi-Wan huffed and reached out, tangling their hands together. Warmth spilled down his spine at the simple touch, comforting and thick, like a good blanket in the winter, and John couldn't help the small smile that crept across his face. Obi-Wan smiled back, but there was still something bothering him. Maybe John could fix it if he told Obi-Wan the rest. I got him to back off before he said anything else. Obi-Wan's nose scrunched. How? I asked him how his wife's affair with the Viscount he was trying to seduce was going, John said innocently. Silence settled over the cell. Obi-Wan's fingers twitched against John's, and he watched as Obi-Wan processed what he'd said. John! Biting back a smirk at the blank look Obi-Wan turned on him, John squeezed his fingers reassuringly. What? How? John tilted his head to the side, considering the words. You know I'm in Republic history, too. Obi-Wan nodded when he paused. Well, I was bored one day and did the assignments and readings early. Once again, Obi-Wan stilled, and John could practically see his brain struggling to load, like the older datapads in the archives. You just did all the assignments for the rest of the semester? Biting back a grin, John said, Yeah, I was bored, remember? Okay, Obi-Wan squeaked. Anyway, John felt his lips curl in amusement as Obi-Wan leaked bafflement from his shields. I just decided to do some extracurricular research on my own on a few people here and there, and one thing led to another. John trailed off, shrugging. In the ensuing silence, John tugged Obi-Wan over to a bench they had leaning against one wall, ignoring the way he mouthed, extracurricular research, to himself as he pushed him to sit. John wasn't sure what to do when Obi-Wan started laughing. He laughed so hard that his eyes started tearing up, and then he fell off the bench, which made him laugh even harder. He bit his lip against the laughter that bubbled up in his own chest, but when Obi-Wan started letting out wheezing snorts, the kind he usually only did when he was truly amused, when he was with those he trusted, because he thought perfect Padawans shouldn't laugh like this, he couldn't help laughing as well. Between his snorts, Obi-Wan managed to choke out, Only you would call blackmail extracurricular research, John. Rolling his eyes, John reached out with a foot to prod Obi-Wan in the side when his snorts started reaching a critical level and began to sound like they hurt. It's not blackmail, he complained. Finally, Obi-Wan uncurled himself from his position on the floor, cracking one eye open to peer up at John. With an amused arch of his eyebrow, he asked, Then what would you call it, if not blackmail? John lifted his nose in the way he had seen Deppa do to get a pushy shopkeeper out of her way. I, he began haughtily, cracking a smile when his put-upon high Coruscanti accent made Obi-Wan start snorting again, would never stoop so low as to blackmail anyone, Padawan. I am simply interested in in-depth research for notable families and the business practices of uncharacteristically successful startups. Nothing devious at all with that. By now, Obi-Wan was clutching his sides, tears rolling down his face as he wheeze-snorted on the floor, the sound echoing in the sal. And John couldn't help the burst of pleasure and happiness he felt that he could make Obi-Wan this happy. It felt good to be able to do this, to be trusted enough to see and participate in this. A warm hand wrapped around his ankle, the only warning he got before he was pulled onto the ground, and John let out a cry of faux outrage as Obi-Wan wrestled him to the ground. John let himself get lost in the feeling of play fighting with Obi-Wan. There was no danger, no real intent for exercise or practice like when they sparred. Just the feeling of warm skin, laughter against his ears, and cheeks burning with how widely he smiled. End of chapter 11.